You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam. And we begin Sukkot Izimra, at least according to Nusach Ashkenaz, and with Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Ha'olam Baruch Hu, and Baruch Osei Bereishis, going back to Ma'ase Bereishis. Writes the Tur in Or HaChaim and Siman and Aleph, Baruch Sha'amar Tzorch La'omro B'nigun U'B'n'ima. And one has to go and recite Baruch Sha'amar with a nigun and with an ima. Why? Kiyushir noy v'nechmod l'mayla. So here the Torah telling us that as Psukei Dezimra gets underway, we commence specifically with Baruch Sha'amar, and it has to be said, not stamazoi, not merely the recitation of the words themselves, but it must be coupled with a nigun, with a melody, with a song, with an imus, because it's a shir that's noav and nechmod l'malav. A kosev esev heicholos. Kabbalistic work. Sheyesh bo pei zayin tevos. There are 87 words in Baruch Sha'amar. V'simen rosho kesem paz. And the simen is rosho kesem paz. What is that a reference to? Writes the pre-shah. Perush hu remez le Baruch Sha'amar shehu rosh le psukei dezimra. That's the head. How do we open Psukei Dezimra, which are Psukim of Shira Vizimra? The very outset is a tefillah consisting of 87 words. Osios, Paz, is 87. Rosha, Kesem, Paz, the beginning of Psukei Dezimra, will be Kesem, Paz. That's how we start Psukei Dezimra, 87 words. The Arzurua writes that the terminology itself, writes the Arzuru, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, it came down on a Pisca Minashamayim, Anshei Knesset HaGedolei, who have asadu the Nusach HaTfilah. These choice words of Baruch Sha'amar have a Dover Miyucha to them, in the sense that it came down on a note that fell from the heavens above, and on that note appeared the 87 words of Baruch Sha'amar. And that's another reason why it's a Shir Nov and Echmon, and that's why Anshei Knesset HaGedolei were Mesakein this specific Nusach. In addition, answer Shimon Schwab and Israel Schwab on prayer. And Sefer Yochsin, we find that upon the appointment of a new Reish Galusa, the one who would head Klai Yisrael and their state of Galus in the Neo-Persian Empire, Babylonia, and adjacent countries where the Jews enjoyed a certain autonomy, there would be a celebration in honor of the new leader on the Shabbos following his appointment. Part of that celebration consisted of a choir of Bacharim, who would respond to the Chazan as he recited the Baruch Sha'amar. When he said Baruch Sha'amar Ayolam, they said Baruch Hu. When he said Baruch Osei Bereishis, they said Baruch Hu. He says Baruch Omer V'Osa, they said Baruch Hu, so on and so forth, until they went through the Tefillah Baruch Sha'amar. So writes Rav Shrab, it's obvious that at least as far back as this period, recorded by the Sefer Yochsin, going back to the Neo-Persian Empire, which was the time of the Rabbanon Savarai, the text of Baruch Sha'amar, as we know it, was already in common use. But again, it's not just Stama text. It's not just Stama text that already originated with the Nusach Shed Biyubo Anshei Knesset HaGedolei, but it's a Nusach, writes the Arzurua, that actually came down from Shemayim. And writes Rav Shrab, it really is composed of two parts. Part one consists of 10 different aspects of the Shem Havaya, of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and part two consists of the body of the Baruch itself. But again, it's 10 different aspects, different perspectives on how to define and how to understand the Shem Havaya, the name, the Shem Ansem of the Borei Olam, Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, writes the Shlo Kodesh, write all the Gedolei Machshava and Balei Kabbalah. The 10 different aspects of Shem Hashem correspond to the Yeses Sfiros, correspond to the different Sfiros with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. These 10 vehicles of spiritual stellar flow forces and flows of energy, Chachma, Bina, Das, Teferis, Malchus, Yesod, etc., adds the Shlo Kodesh, Rabbi Shai Harwitz in the Siddur HaShlo, Baruch Sha'amar, being Mevarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sha'amar, he said, Sha'amar is Gematria, the same Gematria, 541, as the Rosh HaTevas of all the Eser Sfirus with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And that's why the Shlo Kodesh and other Balei Machshava write, these 10 aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu correspond to the Asura Ma'amoros Shebahem Nivra Ha'olam. The Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos, opening Mishnah Perkei of chapter 5 in Perkei Avos, the Asara Ma'amoras Nivra Olam, corresponding to those 10 utterances that brought the world into being. We have 10 aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A different aspect was Nizgala, was manifest, Ayyadei, one of another type of Amira. We had 10 Amiras corresponding to 10 manifestations, 10 ideas corresponding to the Shem Etzem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Havaya, writes the Shlo Gematria Sha'amar Gematria Rosh Tevis of the Esesferus. That's the 10. And the 10 always corresponds to the Esesferus. The Shem Shlo HaKadosh says, you know what, we have Esesme Tshuva, again, corresponding to the Esesferus. Each day of Esesme Tshuva to focus on another aspect. First day Rosh Hashanah, and Milfane Malchias Kadisha Tamichuni Alechem, work on Malchias, so on and so forth. 10 spheres, 10 tests of Avram, 10 Dibros, 10 Mamoris, all the tens are all interlinked, all interconnected. So we begin the Tefillah, the Rosh L'Psukit Izimra, with Rosh Yochessam Paz, with the 87 words of Baruch Shomer that fell down, Alpi Diyar Zeruah Min HaShemayim. And how do we start? The Baruch Sha'amar, and we start through the Nigin, because we have to go ahead and start our Psukit Dizimra with something that highlights we're going to go in and sing, and an Ofen of Zemer. In fact, the Sefer Chassidim writes, it's a fascinating siman in the Sefer Chassidim by Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, and where he has an arichas in Siman Kufnun Ches about the idea of singing and davening. And we have to be mahalo, be b'shevech HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a kol noyim and b'shir shol shevach. Hem hayim aritzim amarim below nigin. And if you're going to do it without a nigin, it's not the same. It's not the same tefillah. You have to use a kol noyim. You have to use a kol ram. And the different nigunim highlight the different rikshei halev, the different types of songs that we have. Hashem says, Hashmini yes kolech. I want to hear your voice. That's why the Sefer Chassidim says, if you have a nice voice, you have to be a chassin. You have to go in and lead the shots. Rashi Yemishle. Give a posik test that you have to go ahead and be machabed Hashem, kabed Hashem, mehoncha, al tekri mehoncha from your possessions, elami groncha, mekoma shechanancha. Zakt Rashi, if you have a nice voice, you have to go and give it over to the tzibur. That's why we have to have a chasin here when we talk about tefillah. If you have a chiyuv, you have an achrayus, you have to be mechabed Hashem using that spectacular voice, Hashmini es kolech, and therefore al toretz debarach al tamayil lahotzi derech mipicha. Make sure to go ahead and do it bimetinut. It has to be with kavana ritzuya. It has to be with the shir, with the shevach. You have to go in and enjoy it. And not only that, but the way it penetrates into the heart is always Ayyadei Adigit. Rav Nachman Mibresov writes in the Kutei Maran, every chokhmah, every lofty idea penetrates beyond the surface of the guf, and it gets imbued and ingrained into the neshama. Ayyadei Nigin. It's very nice to have amunah. Didn't the Yidden already have amunah when we were in Mitzrayim? We witnessed the Makkos, hence Vayamei Na'am, we believed. So what's the new Madrega? Comes Ozir Shemosha Yaminu Bashem Moshe Avda. What's the Chiddush? They already believed. What do you mean Vayaminu Bashem? Granted, there's another added facet of Uva Moshe Avda, but what's Vayaminu Bashem? They already believed. It's a different Madrega of amunah when it's couched in a context of Az Yashir Moshe. When you have it with the Shira, right, so Nachman Mimreusel, that's what enabled that Emuna to sink into the Chadre Halev, into the inner chambers of the heart. How does it go in? Ayyadei music. The same way we know music speaks to the Neshama. We mentioned many times the Hagdama, the introduction to Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov's Pasa Shulchan on the Mitzvah Satluyas Baritz. And he says there that one time his Rebbe the Gra, he made a siyum, not stam on Kol Torah Kula. The Gra made many siyum on Kol Torah Kula. And Rav Chaim makes a siyum on the basic foundation components of Kol Torah Kula every year in Erev Pesach. But the Gra made a siyum on Kol Chochmas Sheb'olam, on everything there is to know out there in the world. And not only all the Chochmas HaTorah, and that a human being can go and work on knowing, of course, it's limitless, but the basic foundation of Tanakh, Midrashei Halacha, Midrashei Agada, Mechilta, the Sefra Sefri, Midrash Rambam, Midrash Tanchuma, the Yalkut, Bavli, Yushami, so the Gron made Kama Siyumim. But one time he gathered a close circle of disciples, and he made a Siyum on all the wisdoms of the world. The Chidor, Rabbi Yonos, and I should say, talk about the seven Chochmas, we know Keneged, the seven Kone HaMenorah, that we had in the Mishkan and the subsequent Batei Mikdash, seven primary Chochmas, the Gron mastered them all. And he goes on to list astronomy and physics, chemistry, you name it, science, illogic, mathematics, everything. And included in the Chochmas is what he calls Chochmas HaMuzika, the wisdom of music. And writes the Gron, this is what he told us, Talmidim, in the introduction to Pasa Shulchan by Rebbe Shlomo Mishklov, that if you know how to use, how to employ the power of music, you can be Mechaye Mesa. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, was given the Chochmas HaMuzika and Har Sinai, and he had the power to bring people back to life, to be Mechaye Mesim, Ayidei Chochmas HaMuzika. So based on that, is it any coincidence that so many people the world over wake up to music? I mean, because music speaks to the soul. It's one thing to wake up to 10-10 wins, another thing to wake up to CBS, but in the end of the day, when you wake up to music, so many people, music, because it speaks directly to the neshama. It goes beyond the surface and it wakes you up. It's the call of the neshama. And Amela, that's why music plays such a role in the Nigunim, and that's why the Simcha Chasidim is Maruch and Simcha Kufin Ches, and different tefillahs require different Nigunim. We know that we hear the melody of the pensive, somber, Kol Nidre melody, right away gets us into the Yom Kippur mood, and you hear the Simcha of a Leibedika song, also gets in the mood. Music, we know, plays a huge role. And not only that, it allows the intellect to tap into things.
Who knew the ninth note? Something
we sent over the story. It's an apocryphal story of doubtful origin, and that the Grom, who mastered the wisdom of music, so we know that nowadays in the world we only have seven notes. Seven notes in the musical scale, the Soda Radna Mido Re, but Alpi Erech and Afyud Gimel Amad Beis, we know that there were seven strings on the harp corresponding to the seven notes in the musical scale. But La Salova, we're going to have eight, and then when we get to Achor Siyomim, it's actually going to go to a 10-string harp. But eight Lamalam and Ateva, nowadays we only have seven. Ashira Salavim, they were privy to an eighth note. The Groh knew supposedly the eighth note, and in the 1700s he met up with Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, because the girl went into many different Golios, and one of the reasons of the Golios was not only Yatz Kapara, but it was to learn Kol Chochma Shebaolam. And an apocryphal story is told that he met up with Mozart, they were discussing music, he was learning some music, and then he sang for Mozart the eighth note, and Mozart fainted on the spot. And that's the Shmua. Is it true? Is it not true? But I can guarantee you it's not at all surprising if indeed the girl knew the eighth note. And the girl with this Torah Sanhedrin. Let's go to Oliver Sacks. And we know Oliver Sacks, the neurologist, Einstein, who just passed away, actually a couple of short weeks ago. He had a book all about music, Musicophilia, Tales of Music and the Brain, by Oliver Sacks, neurologist at Einstein. So he writes here on page 102, and the implication of all this for early education is clear. Although a teaspoon of Mozart may not make a child a better mathematician, there is little doubt that regular exposure to music, and especially active participation in music, may stimulate development of many different areas of the brain, areas which have to work together to listen to or to perform music. For the vast majority of students, music can be every bit as important educationally as reading or writing. Music enables certain neural connections in the brain and allows the development of many different areas of the brain and adds to overall chokhmah as well. And we know, of course, it plays a big role in davening. In fact, if you're interested, if you're going to read one chapter, this is just, it's really one of the shortest chapters in the book, all of four pages long, chapter 17. It's called Accidental Davening. And I remember Oliver Sacks grew up in an Orthodox home. Unfortunately, he went off the derech. Accidentally, he wrote about it before his death in the New York Times. Accidental davening, dyskinesia and cantillation. Talks about Solomon R., an intelligent, middle-aged man with dyskinesia, an unusual movement disorder, which in him took the form of rhythmic pulsions of various sorts. And he talks about the shuckling that he did. And with this and his now increasing bowing movement, Mr. R. seemed to be cantillating, praying, davening. As such, murmuring rhythmically monaric prayer is called by religious Jews. Indeed, a couple of weeks later, I was able to catch a number of Hebrew words, which seemed to confirm my impression. But when I asked Mr. R. about what he was doing, he told me that though they were indeed Hebrew words, they made no sense. They were plucked out of the air, he said, as if to fill prosodic and melodic demand of his dyskinesia. Random though the words were, this strange activity gave Mr. R. deep satisfaction and allowed him to feel he was doing something and not just the victim of a physical automatism. So in the end of the day, he talks about how he started chuckling, but then he would go ahead and put it to some Hebrew words. He says, wanting to document this extraordinary scene, I went one day to the hospital with my tape recorder. As soon as I entered, I could hear Mr. R down the hall, or so I thought, but when I entered the room, I found a Sabbath service in progress. Okay, there he was with the tape recorder. The cantillation was coming not from my patient, but from the davening rabbi himself. With the rabbi, presumably, the rhythmic emphases of prayer had led to a sympathetic rhythmic movement of the body. But with Mr. R, it happened the other way around. Not originally a man attracted to cantillation or prayer, he had now been drawn to this through the physiological accident of dyskinesia, and now he would go ahead and get into the prayer and say the Hebrew words because he already was chuckling. And then he has a postscript about someone who was working with an elderly, demented man named David, who had been a strict Orthodox Jew who spent his days davening and chanting. And he talks about the chuckling, but how he would go ahead and say the words always to a niggun, and that's what got him going. It's always when you put it to music. The only problem was that most of the day he kept saying oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. Vey is mir, mir is vey, oy is vey, vey is mir, oy vey, oy vey, vey. And he would repeat it incessantly throughout the day. But the Pella is that when he got this elderly, demented Orthodox Jew named David, when he got to shuckle with him, and this is Mamash Apliya that he writes, and I could tell you that when it came years ago to my wife's grandfather, Olav Shalom, and when he was in a state of dementia, when my wife, he was a chazan in shul. And when my wife would go home, when we would go visit him, and he was mamash out of it, completely out of it. If my wife would start singing the Yekesh Shir HaMalas that many people sing in chazanas, he would mamash snap out of it, and he would sing word for word along from beginning to end. And other nagunim as well, he would totally, you would look at him, and he would be into it. It's so ingrained into the neshama, the music. See, he has a story here also. He says this person was working with his David, and he couldn't get through to him, because the whole day he was just, Ivey's mir, a whole day, Ivey. And he says, and his job was to bring him breakfast. So what did he do? He says he was always shuckling back and forth. So when he went to speak with him, instead of sitting idle, he would shuckle along with him, and he would get into the rhythmic pulsations back and forth. He would get into that davening. It's not clear that this person himself at all was a Jew, and they would go in and shuckle back and forth. And he says, unbelievable thing. He says, I can't sing you the melody. He's writing to Oliver Sacks. He says, but as I was shuckling along with him, then I would say, hey, David, what do you want for breakfast? And all of a sudden, the ivays would stop, and he would say, I don't know, what do you have? We have eggs and pancakes, toast and potatoes. Oatmeal, cream of wheat, I'll have the eggs. How do you want them? What do you got? Scrambled or fried? I'll have the scrambled. Do you want some toast? Yes. What kind? What do you got? White or rye? I'll have the white. Coffee or tea? I'll have the coffee. Black or cream? Black. Sugar or not? No sugar. Okay, thanks. I'll be back soon. Off I went to get his breakfast, thinking to myself, David is cured. I returned triumphantly with his meal, announcing to David, here's your breakfast. To which he responded, I vey. But when you shuckle with him, when you get into it with him, into the music, it's an altogether different experience because you feel it in your neshama. If you're starting psukei de zimra, then you got to start it with the zimra. You got to start it with the shira. You got to get into it. And what gets into it and what gets these words into the brain is ayudei the nigun, ayudei the ne'ima. Show a kodesh baruch that you want to go in and daven. So here we are starting psukei de zimra. We want to daven. We want to make sure that we're going to sing it to ourselves. We're going to have the words penetrate. Why do we go back to the beginning? Well, here we are at the beginning of the actual Pesukim Zimra. We finished the Karbanos, the Achana to the Pesukim Zimra. We go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the very beginning of time. But of course, in a more profound level, it's not just, well, let's start at the beginning. I mean, let's start at the beginning when Klai Yisrael became an Am. Why do we have to rewind all the way to Maisa Bereishis? Writes Rav Kook, Zatzal in his Olas Re'ia Perush on the Siddur, Tav Kuf Tzadi Gimel. And he says, and his beautiful prose writes of Kokishanuni Goshum Lasader, as Bituyes Fasena, when we approach to now arrange the expressions of our lips, Hamusudarim, Lumas Kola Tokhna Chamaisa Yotzarkol, Kedil His Romim the Ksasmi Hello, Inenumas Schilim Lehis Allah Salamotia Elya. If you want to go ahead and now be Mesader and talk about the Shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to go and connect now to the beginning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before He created the world. Shemisham Novasi Tchuna Sichas HaKadosh Bechlal Enadom HaKlal to the same Akor Shemimenu Novas Sichas HaChol Shebaolam. That's what coming Mitoch Tziurim. We want to go back to the very beginning of it all, when Tchuna Sadibor came down into the world, and that Sichas Kodesh, it came Be'el Yono So Bamimena, and that came from a Makor Kodesh of the Dibor Elyon Imr Sashem Tzrufa. came back to the very beginning. If we want to go and start Pesukim Zimra now, we want to go back to Hashem's first utterance. We're now singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go back to when Dibur was introduced into the world, and when did Hashem Kaviyochel give us the first Dibur? The Asura Mamoris Nivolim. So now when we start our Dibur, we're going to go back to when we started the whole concept of Dibur, when Lashon HaKodesh came into the world. In fact, one of the reasons it's called Lashon HaKodesh, many are familiar with the famous Rambam, who writes in his Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel Peraches, that it's called Lashon HaKodesh because in the Hebrew tongue, in our Lashon HaKodesh, there are no words that highlight the reproductive organs or anything of a pejorative negative nature. We call urine is Meira Goliath. We'll have Tsoa, we'll have Peresh, we'll have Evarim. We won't talk about Advarim that are pre-tistic. There is no word in Lashon HaKodesh. It is purely a holy tongue. That's Shitas Rama. Writes the Ritva and Nedarim Daf Beis Amud Beis, the first language that Hashem brought into the world, the one that Hashem Yisburach Kaviyochel himself used, was Lashon HaKodesh. After last week's Parsha, Nimrod Daraflog, Hashem scattered it into 70 primary languages, albeit it comes down to 70. We have now over 700 languages, but they could all be traced back to an original 70 languages, and those 70 were Noveya emanated forth from one that was called Lashon HaKodesh, but we're the only pure, unadulterated, pure, pristine language, and that's Lashon HaKodesh. That's Varoma Matana Mikol HaLashon. We have the only pure, pristine, unadulterated Lashon in our indigenous tongue, and that's Lashon HaKodesh. That's Varoma Matana Mikol HaLashon. If we're going to start davening, we're going to go back to when Lashon HaKodesh came into the world, and came into the world, Ayidei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, not using words of that came in from all the sources and that other people configured. We're going to go back to the very beginning. So now when we start our psukim of Zimra, let's go back to when Hashem created the very concept of words, the very concept of speech. And that takes us to Baruch Shamar Bahayola. Baruch to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shamar, who said, Bahayolam, that's not a Lashon of Dibur, it's a Lashon of Amira. Baruch Shamar, he said it. We have Amira, we have Dibur. What's the difference? Agra, Maharal, Rav Hirsch, many differences between an Amir and a Dibur. We suggested in the past, based on the Sefer Redifei Maya, by the author of the Drasha Safike Yehuda, what's the difference between Amir and Dibur? He has two very strong rayos. Amira is when somebody stomps, speaks, but it doesn't mandate that there's a listener. Amira, we know from Makas, Tafir Aleph, and Alpha, that's what everybody agrees to. Amira is Lashon Racha, soft way of speaking, Kosomer Leves Yaakov, beginning of Perkates and Parshas Yisrov, Sage Lebnei Yisrael, Kosha Kegidim. Dibur is a Lashon Kosha, writes the Gemara Tafir Aleph, and Aleph in the second parak of Makas. So what does this mean, though? Obviously, this isn't the definition. It happens to be that we invoke a Lashon of Amira when we want to speak softly and soothingly, and we invoke a Lashon of Kasha Kegidim or Dibur when we want to highlight the Lashon Kasha. But what do the words really connote? Writes the Redifei Maya, his Sefer on Shemus and Nedufon on synonymous words. He says that Amira means that the speaker is speaking. It happens to be sometimes that there's a listener on the other end, but it doesn't mandate, it's not machayev that there's a shomea, haraya. Every soliloquy in the pages of Chumash is what? On Tanakh, Vayomer Haman Belibo, Vayomer Hashem Belibo, Vayomer Esav Belibo, Yikr V'meyev Lavi. When someone's speaking to himself, it's always an Amira. And you don't have Dibur Kasha, a person can't speak all that harshly to himself. But in the end of the day, that's an Amira. Amira is, you're speaking. That's an Amira. A Dibur means that it's within the context of a relationship. And the very words coming out of my mouth are within that context of a yachas between the speaker, the medaber, and the listener, the shomea. Hence, look at Targum Onkelos. We have a Yomar Hashem Moshe Leimor. We have a Yidabra Hashem Moshe Leimor. What's the difference? You take a look at the Targum. And Onkelos, every Vayomar Hashem Moshe Leimor is what? A Va'omar Hashem Limoshe Leimor. God speaking to Moshe, not with Moshe, to Moshe. Every Vayadabar Hashem in the context of a yachas, of a pre-existing relationship, Onkelos is Matargem, Umalel Hashem, Im Moshe Lemeimar. Big difference. Is God speaking Limoshe? God speaking. Happens to be Moshe's over there. I'm speaking in that direction, towards him. Im Moshe means I'm speaking with him. That's Dibur. Now we understand. Why is it? Let's go back to Asara Mamoris and Rolo. Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. Asara said, Dibros, Vayadabar is called Devorim Ha'ele. What's the difference? The Phineas Taiti, like the Redifei Maya, it's possible. Pasha. When Hashem started speaking, when he created the world, there was no one with whom he was speaking. He wasn't talking to anybody. There were no human beings, no Bali Bechira. It can only be one Lashon only, and that's Vayomer Hashem. It's a Lashon Amira, it's an utterance. It's Asara Mamoris, Nevra Olam. Mashenk and Aser Sedibros was the whole interest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibiyach was to have a Krisas Bris Beino Levein Klai Yisrael, to create an eternal covenant relationship that is highlighted precisely by the choice terminology of a Dibur. It's a Dibur, God says, I'm speaking with you. It's a Krisas Bris Beino Levein Klai Yisrael. That's a Dibur. It's Aser Sedibros Ala Umas the Asara Mamoris. So we're going back to the beginning. It's Baruch Shomer. This isn't about Hashem now with us. This is about Hashem. We start up Sukkot Zimra, which is now being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We start off by praising Him. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's start by praising Him right at the beginning. Baruch Hashem, that Omar, that He opened up Kaviyochan, He gave us Lashon HaKadosh, and He spoke Vayolam, and then there was a world. That's my Sabracious. That's Bracious. Bracious Nami Maimerhu. That's Hashem's first word, Kaviyochol. Everything gets traced back to that word. We know the famous Vilna Gaon. All of the Torah really comes back to the first Pasuk, to the first word, to the first letter, to the dot in the Bracious, in the base. That's where everything came from. Baruch Hashem, who said, spoke, and then there was a world, Baruch Hu. So we saw Rav Schwab tell us, based on the Sefer Yosef, and that in the Tkufa, the Rabbanan Tzavarai, they used to have, after they appointed a Reish Galus, the first Shabbos afterwards, so the Chazan would go and say the opening line, they would respond, Baruch Hu. We read it now as one continuous phrase. So what's this idea all about? I saw Rav Aaron David Goldberg from Tells. He writes in the Sefer Shiras David, based on the Gro. We have in the Agodah Shal Pesach, the famous line, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu. Writes the Gra, what are these two distinct ideas? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Hashem is Mekom HaShalolam, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. Hashem is called the Makom of the world. So if we just said Baruch HaMakom, what's Baruch Hu? Explains the Vilna Gaon as follows. Baruch HaMakom is Hashem created the Makom of the world. Makom encompasses therein everything that exists in the physical, gashmiistic world, anything that occupies space, that's everything of domain, Samech, Chai, and Medaber, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, He created Makom, He created the whole Olam HaGashmi, everything that appears and exists, and the Olam HaMaisa. And then what do we say, Baruch Hu? What's Baruch Hu? It seems to be redundant. No, Baruch Hu writes, the Gro is now thanking Hashem for the Machshava that went into the Bria. I asks the Vilna Gaon, shouldn't we talk about the Machshava? Because everything started with the Machshava, and then go into the Maisa. You know why we have that order, explains the Grob? Because we can never, ever plumb the depths and the profundity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Machshava. We can look at the mice and we could see the Bria. We could work, study, scrutinize, assess the Bria. We could tackle it. We could address many facets of the Chelkei HaBria. And we could understand Hashem through the Bria. Like Avraham Avinu came to recognition of Hashem through the Bria. So the first thing we do is we come into the tangible world. We say, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hashem. Then He's Mekom HaShalom. Look at the Gevaldik world that He gave us. But know that there's an infinite Machshava, the thrust behind this Olam HaAsiya, and that's Baruch Hu. We can't say anything. That's what the Gro says. It's Baruch Hu. What is who? The third person. What is Shem Havaya? Hashem Havaya is the name that's beyond the Bria. Meaning what? This is Shem Havaya. Havaya is HaYehovaviya. What is HaYehovaviya? Hashem was, is, and will be. What does it mean He was, is, and will be? By definition, it means He's outside the realm of time. It means Hashem's Shem Etzem, Shem Havaya, is before there was a world. Hashem was known as Havaya, who now decided Kaviyocha to be Mahav of the Bria. That is the Pashup Shat of the word Havaya. Mahava the Bria. He is Mamtzi the Metzias. He's Mahava the Bria. Brings everything into existence. How did Hashem actually create with the word? Elokim. Elokim is Osios what? Mi Ela. Mi Bara Ela. You look around at the world, the Olam HaMaisa, and what do you see? You see Elokim. You see Mi Bara Ela. Who created this? But Havaya is the Machshava behind it. And what does Havaya explain to Maral? It's Hashem in the third person. When Hashem says, I'm going to be Magala, reveal myself to Moshe, how does Hashem reveal Shmi Hashem alone Adati Lahem, but I'll start revealing it to you, Moshe, Yedei, what? Ekia Asher Ekia. That's the first person. I will be that I will be. Now Hashem is giving Moshe a glimpse of the Shem Etzem. Shem Etzem, though, always remains in the third person. Baruch Ata Hashem, every bracha. Baruch Ata. First we talk about what? The Hashem that we see, the Hashem that's not opposite us, and then we go to Hashem, the third person, that's the Shem Etzem. That's the Shem even before the Bria. Bria comes in, Ayedei Elokim, Osios, Mi Eila, Mi Bora Eila. Havaya was the name, though, that was Mamtzi everything. We're talking about now, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, writes the Vilna Gaon, Baruch HaMakom for the Olam HaSiya, and then we go right away to what? To Baruch Hu, that's Hashem. We can't say anything, because the Machshav HaHashem is Ner Lon Lugamri. It's invisible, it's hidden from mankind. Pesachim Nafnun Aman Alev, Zeh Shmi Li Olam, Zeh Zichri Lador Dor. Zeh Shmi Li Olam, Helem, writes the Gemara. It's a name that's invisible, that's the Shem Havaya, the Shem that's Nechtav, we can't bring it into the Olam HaSiya. We are forbidden, we are enjoined from enunciating and articulating the Shem Havaya, because it doesn't belong here in the Olam HaSiya. It's Zeshmi Lahal and Lahelam, it's made invisible. The Shem Adnus, Aleph Dal Nun Yud, is the Bechin of Torah Shoapen, the Shem that's Nemar Velo Nechtav. So that is Baruch Shamar Vahaya Olam. All right, so the Shira is David. Baruch Shamar, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shamar, and then he said he was speaking before there was anyone else, because there was nobody else. Hashem started the Asura Mamoris and Olam, the Hay Olam, and then all of a sudden there was a world. Baruch Hu. So now we talked about what? Hashem opened up his mouth, Kaviyachol, gave us the Asura Mamoris, brought a world into existence, an actualized physical, gashmistic, materialistic world, and then Baruch Hu. But know that there's a Machshava behind it, since we can never figure out the Machshava. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, we're actually forbidden to plumb the depths. We can't go ahead and plunge head first into Pardes and try and figure out Maisim Rakova and Maisim Bereishis. Therefore, the Gros says, we don't know the Machshava. All we know is how we see Hashem through his Olam HaMaisa. But we know that what drove, what the thrust, and behind that Olam HaMaisa was the Machshava that brought it into being, into existence. And that's the Baruch Hu. Baruch Osei Bereishis continues. Anshe Knesset Gedolah. So what are we saying now? Hashem didn't just create the world and now divorce himself from the Bria. Hashem is, as we say in the Baruch of Yotzar, Hashem is Mechadish, Betuvah, Mechoyim, Tavon, Maaseh, Bereishis. He's constantly willing the world to exist. He is Osei Bereishis. It's not that he said Bereishis in the past. There was a beginning, and now there was a concept of time, as the Sforno writes, as the Gro writes in the Deresh Liyot. There's a concept of time. Hashem said the word Bereishis. He's Osei, Loshen Hoveh. He is constantly Osei Bereishis. He's constantly speaking. He's constantly willing the world to exist. That is Hashem is Osei Bereishis. He is Omer Va'osa. He is constantly speaking Va'osa, and he is fulfilling the thoughts and constantly bringing things more into being. Gozer Makayim, Merachim Arts, Rachavias, Rav Schwab, and others take us through all the different praises. But again, it's 10 corresponding to the 10 Sfiras, Alpi the Shlah, 10 corresponding to the Asura Mamoros. We set the stage. You set the stage by, here's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, whom I've gotten to know a little bit by observing and witnessing and delving somewhat into the Olam HaSiya, into looking at his world from the very beginning of time. But I always finish off, oh, Baruch Hu, I don't really know him, I don't really understand the Machshava. But now that I set the stage with the Asura Moris, part one of Baruch Shalom, now I'm ready to go into part two. Part two now begins the praises. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. Hakel, Havarachaman and Mahula Bafiyamo, Meshubach Mafur Bashan Chasid of Avadav, of Eshire David Avdecha. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Hadakel, the Av, the Rachaman. And we recognize Hashem as Avinu Shashamayim, he is the Kel Rachaman, as opposed to Elohim, which is Midas Adin. When you change Elohim to Kel, that goes to Midas Harachamim. You change Havaya Midas Harachamim to Shein Yud Hey, that goes to Midas Adin. These three all go together. Hashem is the Kel, he's the Av, he's the Rachaman. It's all about mercy. And he is praised in the mouths of his nation. His nation, meaning what? We're talking about now, yes, Hashem created the world, and he created many human beings in this world. And there are many other nations, 70 other nations, billions of other people. But he is Be'ikr Mehulam. He doesn't care about Halu Hashem Kol Goyim. Yes, they might praise it, but the real praise is reserved for the mouth of Amo, of his nation, and that's Klal Yisrael. And within that, not only is he Mehulal, but he is Meshubuch Umefuar in the language and the tongue of the Hasidim and the Avadim and the Shirei David Avdecha. The Hasidim are those who go Lefinim Eshur Sadin, and the Avadim are the ones who do exactly what Hashem wants them to do. But we're talking about tzaddikim, we're talking about special people over here. And that's why Rav Schwab says, Meshubach, what does it mean shvach? What does it mean praise? He says, you see the way Chazal use it, let's go to how Tanam and Amaram use it. In Shas, we find lahashbiach esakarka, to improve the ground. Lashbiach achefetz. You want to go ahead and improve something? It's the terminology, the choice wording is, you're being mishabeh. So what does it mean we're improving Hashem? Can't improve Hashem. Hashem is perfect, Kaviyachol. What does it mean improve? Explains Rav Schwab. Many people see Hashem's involvement in the world, and they wonder, Tzadik v'ra'lo rasha v'tovlo, where is Hashem? Where's the Yad Hashem? Why are good things happening to bad people? Why are the righteous suffering? And why are the wicked prospering? And we see, where's Hashem? Anochi astas, Hashem seems to be hidden. But the Hasidim and the Avadim are constantly praising Hashem. What do? They're bringing Hashem into the Bria. They're improving Hashem's perspective. Hashem himself, Kav Yachudus, need improvement. Hashem is perfect. But the Hasidim and the Avadim are going to the Flimish Shosin, and who are serving Hashem with everything they've got. They're always trying to convince everybody else in the world to say, see the Yad Hashem. Hashem is always here. Improving the perspective of mankind vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the first one to be Malkir the Borei Olam? Avraham Avinu. Explain Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg. We know coming up pretty soon is the whole story of Avraham Avinu davening for the people in Sodom and Amor. Sodom, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom. And Avraham Avinu says, wait, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olai Yish Chamishim Tzidikim Zochayir? I know there aren't. Okay, Olai Yish Abob, V'cholai, and it keeps going. Maybe, you know what, save maybe from the 10. When it gets down to what was in the days of Noah, that's when he realizes he can't go below that. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, I understand, what is he doing? What is he thinking? Isn't Hashem knows what he's doing? So Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, by the way, Avraham Avinu, I'm going to destroy the city because they're filled with evil people. As Avraham says, wait, Hashem, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. Maybe they're tzaddikim in this. What do you mean by this? If God told you that's what he's doing, Hashem made all those cheshbonis already. Zos Ameris, if 50 tzaddikim were sufficient to save a city, then Hashem already would have been, he would have bought that Zbaba cheshbon. He already took that into calculation, and Hashem already determined that they don't have 50 tzaddikim. So what does he argue? How could you enter a dialogue, a debate with Hashem Yisbarach? Explain to Yaakov Weinberg. Avraham Avinu knows, in a chanami, if Hashem decides to destroy Sodom, I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm not going to be Maharach Midoso. Why is Hashem telling me? If Hashem wants to destroy the city, he said, go and destroy the city. If Hashem is telling me, that means Hashem says, Avraham Avinu, I'm interested in your perspective and your take on things. Zos Ameris, I already made a decision. I know what the right thing to do is, what Mita said in demands. But I want you, who is now the Rosh Amana, the Rosh of the Ummah, and the head of Amunah, you're bringing Amunah back into the world. I want the human perspective. I want to know from the human perspective, tell me what's going on. The famous Pirush, that the Malach Eilyon, one of the explanations how Yitzchak got blind, Amatechena Eino Milirus, is because when he was on the altar by Kiddush Yitzchak, so the Harubus HaShemayim, the skies opened up, and the Malach Eilyon were crying, and the tears of the angels went down to Yitzchak. So, many Mepharshim ask, why in the world do these skies have to open up? Why don't you just tell me the Malachim cried? Why do I need to know the skies open up? Teretz is what? If the skies didn't open up and the Malachim saw what was occurring from God's perspective, they would never cry. Because if you see the world from Hashem's perspective, there's nothing bad. You see the whole picture. Everything is good. Everything you're seeing behind stage. And the famous Moshal used to have those little diagrams that kids do in arts and crafts where you take all the yarn and you make these crazy configurations in the back. On the front, it looks like a sailboat. When you look at the back, it looks like a whole big mess. Same type of idea. We see the mess. Hashem sees the sailboat. He's behind the stage. He sees what's going on. If Hashem didn't open up the skies, they never would have cried because there's nothing to cry about. But once you open up the skies and the angels are forced to see it from the human perspective, from mankind's perspective, how could you not cry when you see his pinchas yechidcha on the altar? So Avraham Avinu says, if Hashem wants to destroy the city, so go and destroy it. If Hashem is interested in my perspective and my take on things, because he's engaging me in dialogue, that means he wants the human perspective. Hashem, the human perspective, I know in Midas Adin they have to die, but from my perspective, if there are 50, 40, 30 v'chulei, then they still seem to be saying, oh, once Avraham Avinu was told they don't even have that, okay, then you got to go and destroy them. The Mela, what does it mean to improve Hashem? Hashem Kaviyachu doesn't need any improvement. It means to improve how Hashem is perceived by mankind, writes Hashem and Schwab. That's Meshubuch Mafur. And not only is he Meshubuch, but he's Mafur, which means what? Not only are you improving the status of Hashem, that even when we see people Rachman Tzlan get knifed, and we see people ruthlessly, brutally murdered by terrorists in Eretz Yisrael, and you need Chassidim and Avadim to say, I understand it's hard and it's painful, but you have to see, you can't imagine the Gezeiros that's saving us from. Three beautiful neshamas killed last summer brutally, and he had dwelt, it saved tens of thousands of lives by having the discovery of all the tunnels and preventing the large massacre that the terrorists were planning in Rosh Hashanah, Kayaduo. These three precious neshamas saved thousands and thousands of lives. So we need the chassidim and the avodim of Hashem to see the emistic perspective, the pnimius, what's really going on in the Indian. They improve Hashem's perspective in the eyes of mankind here in this world, and they don't stop there. They're mafire. They glorify Tiferes. That's the crown and glory at Tiferes. They even say, look at the Melech Malchim Elohim. And you see that it's a culture who's running the world. It doesn't make any sense. You read the media reports and you read a CNN how Joseph's tomb caught fire. And you hear a reporter, MSNBC, as the video was right there with the guy and a knife in the hand, and this meshuga, crazily biased reporter saying, oh, there was nothing in his hand. It's a plea atzuma, and you need petitions to fire the guy? NBC hasn't fired the guy yet. It's a plea atzuma. The world has gone meshuga. It's gone so meshuga that you see, you see the media, it doesn't make sense. It is so obvious, and they're equating evil with good. It's such a plea atzuma that there's no other explanation, but this is Hashem Yisbarach telling me, trust me, I'm running the show over here. And this is part of a plan, bringing about Mashiach. There's no other explanation that the whole world is so messed up, so distorted, that anti-Semitism can be so rampant and such a grand scale to distort Mamish pictures of a guy with that, and people will still deny it. It's a plea. Terrence is what? Even through that we see Hashem, but we need that, the Hasidim and the Avadim, and we use Tehillim, the Shirei David of Decha, where David HaMelech saw Hashem and everything. I, his own son, rebels. Avshalom, Abetz, Amizwar, the David, Kina, the David, me by lay, asked the Gemara. It's a Mizmar because he saw the Rachim and he saw the Yan Hashem, and there needs to be a rebellion. The rebellion could be by an Eved who would have no mercy at all. Baruch Hashem, yes, oh, it's my son. He's going to have mercy. It's my son who's rebelling and destroying the whole kingdom. I but Mizmar the David. He saw the good in everything. That's Bashir David of Decha. Those are the people who could be Meshabeach, improve Hashem's status in the eyes of mankind, and don't stop there. Mefire, they bring in the Tiferes, the crown of glory. Memela, we're all going to now copy them. Nehalecha Hashem Elokeinu, that's Hashem Elokeinu. Midas Arachim and Midas Adin. It doesn't make a difference to us anymore. Once the Hasidim and Avada pointed out that everything that's happening in the world is what is Akel. Kel Midas Arachimim. Av. Merachim Av, Abonim, Merachim Av. Again, Midas Rachim. Harachamon. Notice that three-pronged Midas Rachimim. Kel, Av, Rachamon. Each one independently. And now the Chutam HaShulosh. It's all about Rachimim. Everything Hashem does. But first, we need it to be pointed out by the Hasidim and the Avodim and David HaMelech. Then, Halelch Hashem Elokeinu. You know what? It's not going to make a difference to us. Whether we see Hashem as Hashem or acting with Anhag of Elokeinu, whether it's Midas Rachim, Midas Adin, Lo Mishaneh doesn't make an afkamina. In our eyes, we're always going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're going to praise Him with what? Not only with Shvachas to improve in the eyes of mankind, but Stamazai, Smiris, we're going to break out in songs and melodies. Negadech, we're going to make Hashem ever greater. When Yeshabecha and Amerech, we're going to ask Hashimcha, His shame and Amnicha, every aspect of His Malchus, the Yochid Chei Olamim is going to be around forever. And again, there are total five conjugations of the Lashon of Shvach, because the Tzad HaShav is in the Bria, it's only Hashem Yisbaruch who created the Bria from the very beginning until the end of time. The very Hashem who is Ani Haya Hovavia, who existed outside of time before the creation of time, who is Ani Rishon Ani Acharon. Only Hashem who sees the whole thing, knows exactly what He's doing, is always acting in Midas HaRachamim. Memela, it's always Meshuvach, Meshuvach. Hashem is Meshuvach Mefor Adayad, not just now, but He is Meshuvach Mefor forever. Shemo HaGadol, not only is He great, His name is great, His reputation is going to only keep getting greater. Baruch atah Hashem. Notice that now we conclude with what? With only Hashem. Look at this beautiful progression. It started out as what? Baruch Shem Rahaya Olam. It was about the beginning of the world. The beginning of the world. The Mayas of Bereshis took place with what? Elokim. Elokim. Midas Adin. Midas Adin. Then we went to what? Hashem Elokeinu. When we got up to part two. And then we were Magish the Rachman. Kel Avarachman. And then Hashem Elokeinu. We took the Rachman and joined in Midas Adin. And when we get to the very end, it's only Baruch Atah Hashem. We see everything really as Midas HaRachman. Hashem is the Melech Malchei HaMelochim. He is Meholol. He is always praised, and He's always praised again by Tishbachos. Everything is always to improve Hashem's perspective. We're coming here now as mankind. How do we go into our davening? We're always improving our vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is doing everything out of Rachamim. He is the King that is praised with praises. Just to close, on this last line, we have to go to a famous Vilna Gaon. This last line seems to be redundant. Hashem, now how do we close the whole story of praises? We have all these praises over here. All these praises, Keneged Hashem, Amoros, and Olam, the Esesphirus, and the 87 words, Rosh Hashanah, Paz, Gevaldik, or Mamlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have Shira and Zimra, like the Torah wanted, Tzarchlim, or Benigan, or Benimah, Tzashir, Noah, V'nechman, Lamayla, and it has all these beautiful Ramazim. And the end of the day, we concluded, the summation is, Hashem is praised with all the praises out there. What in the world does that mean? What else do you praise a person with? Do you praise a person with negativity? Of course you're praised with praises. If you're Mahulo, you're Mahulo B'tesh Bachos. Asks the Vilna Gaon. It's in the back, the Likut Medivri Eliyo, and the Gra answers with a Moshal. Says there was a king, and he had cabinet ministers, he had various officers with whom he had a close relationship, and it came a special day, he wanted to celebrate his kingdom. He lined up all his cabinet ministers and he says, one after the other, I want you to sing my praises. Okay, he was a haughty king. He says, I want you to go ahead and sing my praises. So what happens? The first one comes and says, King, you got the most beautiful palace I've ever seen in my life. Next one, you got the mightiest army. Next one, oh, you have the most beautiful children. Next one, you're the wealthiest king. Your storage houses of gold, silver, possessions, unbelievable. One after the next, all of a sudden, Bob comes along. And Bob says, you know what, king, you have a crooked nose. Crooked nose to the king? Right away, he incarcerates the person, throws him into jail. He says, what's going on, Bob? There's a rebellion, a coup d'etat. He's rebelling, he has a crooked nose. He says, we're going to execute him next week. Yeah, right before the execution, he says, I got to figure out. I was close to Bob all these years, and all of a sudden now, tells me I have a crooked nose. What's going on here? So he brings out Bob, and Bob says, king, you don't understand. You see, everybody else who praised you, whether it was Dave or Steve, all these other people, they highlighted one of your many milas, but it leaves the inference that Lav Davka is everything else about you so great, so great to write home about. You might have the greatest army, you might have the most wealth, you might have the most beautiful kingdom, but what about everything else about you? Mamela, he says, I came to give you the greatest praise of them all. I looked at your army, I looked at your palace, I looked at all the aspects, the varied components of your majesty, of your kingship. And I've drawn the conclusion that what? Everything about you, king, is so perfect. The only place where you're missing a little bit is your nose is slightly off. It's slightly crooked. That's the greatest praise of them all. And the king accepted it, and he gave him a promotion. Sometimes the greatest praise is you point out the one small foible, the one little fault, and from that you discover that everything else is great. Now we have a concept, we all know Tanur Rabbana, Ketzim Raktim Lefnei HaKala. What do you say in front of the Kala? Beishamay Beisila. Beishamay says Kala Kamoshi, you say it as is. Beisila says Kala Neva Chasuda. Ask Taisus. Say Beishamay, you say it like it is. What if the Kala has nothing to write home about? What if the Mamzer, what are you going to do? What are you going to praise if there's nothing to say? So Taisa says, Shtok, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Well, so that's not so good. You keep quiet. I tell you what happens. You know, a person comes back in the date, you know, and the parents ask the child, so know what you think. He doesn't say anything. I think get a little worried. So Taisa says, Inami, I'll give you another teretz. Every Kala has something special. Einayim yafos yeshla, yadayim yafos yeshla. Every girl's got to highlight the special qualities of the girl. Oh, she has a great personality. She has a great highlight the meaning, highlight something. I say Beisilo, so why not do that? Beisilo says if you highlight one or two aspects, that leaves the mashmos, that leaves the inference. Oh, what about everything else? Why are you only telling me about, oh, well, she's got a great family. Yeah, but what about, well, she's got a great family. Yeah, but what about, oh, her family's really good. In the end of the day, the person draws the obvious inference. So writes the Vilna Gaon, sometimes the best way is, you know what? You praise a person by pointing out the small fault. So that's the best thing to do. Rav Reuven Margolis, in fact, has a little biography on the Marsha. And he points out a few places where the Marsha, one of the Gedolei Achron, made a few slight mistakes. And he writes in his Akdamo, don't think Chas V'Shalom, I came to point out the mistakes of the Marsha. He says, if I would write a biography of all the amazing milos of the Marsha, it would be several volumes long. I'm just going to point out a few mistakes, letting you know everything else about the Marsha is perfect. That's sometimes the best praise. But writes the Vilna Gaon, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you going to say? There's nothing to say. Hashem has no faults. Hashem is perfect. Hashem is the symbol of perfection, kaviyochol. See, even though the greatest praise at times might be, highlight the one single mistake, the one single chisaron, and from that you'll have the mashmaut, you'll draw the inference. Everything else about the person is great. King, your nose is slightly off. So now we talk to Melech Malchim Melochim, writes the Gra. Sometimes the greatest mehulal is to praise with a slight chisaron, and I'll figure out everything else is great. No, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Arno Chisronos. Hashem is the Melech, the King of all kings, who is mehulal, he is perfect. praised with one thing and one thing only. He could only be praised by praises. He could only be praised by tishmachos. That's the only way you could praise him, because there's no fault whatsoever in the Borei Olam. Now that we set the stage, we went back from the beginning of time. Everything is perfect. Everything is Hashem brought in the Bria. We're now in that Bria. We're part of that creation. We're now opening up our mouths like Hashem opened up His mouth, Kaviyach, born in Lashon HaKodesh, started the creation of the world. We're starting the creation of our day, starting the creation of our world today. We wake up Wednesday morning, starting at creation, opening up our mouth, Lashon HaKodesh. Same way, Mod Ani Levanechem Melech Chai V'Kayam. Hashem is the Melech Kel Chai V'Kayam, and now He's the one who's going to be around forever. We start our own little world, going back to the beginning of the world. How Hashem, the Kel Avraham, on everything is all for our benefit. Everything is this world to get us to Shleimus. Hashem is the Melech who's all about Shleimus. Melo, once we set the stage, then we're going to go right into Hodu, talk about Hodah, talk about Shmuel, go into Mizmor Lasoda. Thank you, Hashem, for the world. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, this golden chance, to go ahead and be Mahalo you with the Tishbuchos. And I met Hashem next week. We'll get into the various parts of Psukei Dezimra and why Hodu Mizmor Lasoda, why it has to begin with Hodah before we do anything else.
Thank you for joining us at BensTorah.com.